I've had a few concussions playing football in high school and college. I definitely understand when I'm in optimal functioning with my mind and how that works, and how you have to be very intentional with what it is that you're doing when you're not on point and you're not in that, what I would call like a flow state. So I would say that the brain is something that is a powerful, powerful organ. And when you think of how to utilize it and how to tap into it and how you can retrain it just in case you have any type of damage that was done to it, it's the effort that you put into it. And that's usually what yields the results that you get out of it. So you put high effort in it, you usually get some high results out of it.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did. And that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it.
Hello and welcome back to Hope Survives podcast. Today is a very exciting day. If you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time or any other episodes, you probably already noticed that our theme song sounds a bit different. And that's because that is the brand new version of Hope Survives that as of today, midnight, released everywhere on all streaming platforms. So I'm actually recording this intro earlier and I'm anticipating the release and so excited. But by the time that you listen to this, you will be able to stream it. So if you use Spotify or Apple Music or Google or Amazon, wherever you listen to songs, please go check it out. Hope Survives, new single 2022. There is an older version of Hope Survives on streaming platforms from my EP from 5 years ago. So make sure you're seeing the new one if you want to listen to the new version. It was recorded in Nashville, Tennessee. Very exciting. And there's a story behind why I decided to re-record that song, which I'm about to share with you. But before that, I wanted to talk a little bit about our guest coming up. Today, I chose David Freeman as our guest for the last week of Brain Injury Awareness Month and my song release day. Now, I've been sitting on this interview for a couple months now, to be perfectly honest, because we did this conversation and David inspired me so much with his thoughts on mindset. It just challenged me and uplifted me, and we kind of went back and forth in the conversation, so you'll hear us just talk. It was kind of just like we were just having a conversation, and it was really, really awesome. He shares the foundation of mindset. He is also a concussion survivor from football. He's had multiple concussions in high school and college playing football, but more than that, he's a health and fitness professional that's been in the fitness industry for over 10 years. He is the National Digital Performer Brand Manager, the Director of Inclusion and Diversity, and the co-host of Lifetime Talks podcast with Lifetime, the Healthy Way of Life company. He has also been featured on the cover of Experience Life magazine as an innovator within the health and fitness industry and has been featured in Men's Health and Men's Journal as a subject matter expert in helping change lives around the world and grow Lifetime's overall brand. He's awesome. He attended the University of Richmond, where he played football, and went on to professionally overseas, where he found his calling and purpose as a fitness professional. So David is from North Carolina and is the husband to Michelle and has two kids. He's great. So all that being said, today's conversation about mindset, personal growth, connecting to your values and strengths, it's going to be a great one. If you are the type of person who likes to take notes, this is a great episode to take notes. If you're the type of person who likes to listen to podcasts while you're driving or doing other things, this is one to flag that you might want to come back to later because he's great. Now, I say that because, like I said, I've been sitting on this interview for a number of months now. We had this conversation months ago, and I considered releasing it a couple times, but I always felt like, I just didn't think it was time yet. I wanted to do it justice, and I wanted to put it out at a time when it felt right. And so today is the day. It is finally that day. Now, the reason I chose his episode on personal growth mindset and connecting to your values and strengths as the episode for the end of Brain Injury Awareness Month and my Hope Survives premiere is because the reason that I chose to re-record Hope Survives has a lot to do with my own personal growth and journey in the brain injury story. So I first wrote Hope Survives, the song, in 2015. And I was really struggling. It came out of a place of struggle. If you know the lyrics, the first verse says, "The day is over, you start to crash. Exhaustion hits, but you can't relax. On the outside, you look fine, but each day you're fighting to get by. Isn't it crazy how nothing's the same? In just one moment, everything changed." And this song is about how even in the middle of the struggle, all you need is a little bit of hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today, it says. And I wrote this song at a time when I was just starting to believe in hope again. When I was just starting to think, wow, maybe there is something more for me with my brain injury journey. Maybe it doesn't define me. And it was a really big personal growth moment for me. I released it the first time in 2015, March, for Brain Injury Awareness Month. And I had started our Hope After Henry page in 2012. So we had some people on there already. And the response to the song was overwhelming. People commenting and sharing how much the song meant to them. That this was one of the first times that had ever happened to me as a songwriter, as an artist. I was still growing a lot. And I just couldn't believe it. And so I decided to do a music video featuring people holding up pictures of signs on saying, "What does Hope Survives mean to you?" And a number of people sent in their pictures of brain injury survivors, and I released that video in 2015. I kept writing songs. In 2017, I released an EP, my next album, called Hope Survives, and did kind of a little bit of a redone version of that song, but I was still really coming out of a place of struggle and, you know, just trying to find hope and looking for hope. Now, in the last 5 years, my personal growth has been exponential in terms of realizing that I can really take my power back. I'm not a victim of my brain injury. And choosing hope became something that wasn't as much out of desperation as it was out of empowerment. Back when I wrote the song, I was clinging onto hope out of desperation because it was all I had, my faith, my hope, just something. But over the years, I have grown and realized that I can celebrate hope and I can choose hope. And yes, it's still hard. Yes, I still struggle. Yes, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day sometimes. Even earlier today, I was crying. I had a headache. There was a lot going on. You know, it happens. But I wanted to do a new version of Hope Survives that included community. So I have a bunch of background singers on it. So you'll hear a group of singers. I wanted to have a lot of instrumentalists from Nashville. It's more upbeat. It's kind of got a country pop feel. And I wanted to do a version of this song that sounds like a celebration of hope. So the original Hope Survives is not on streaming anymore. You can hear it on YouTube. My old Hope Survives, you know, instantly when it starts to play, it's just piano and I'm singing and it might make you cry a little bit. But this new one is meant to be a feel-good song to kind of lift you up and remind you like, hey, you know what? It's a hard day, but I can celebrate hope and I can celebrate joy that even in the hard times, even through my darkest night, there's hope. So for me as an artist and as a songwriter and as a musician, kind of my expression of that is the slower version, the piano version kind of sounds like, you know, of the focus on through your darkest night, hope survives. Now this version is like, yeah, okay, it's hard, but hope is bigger than that. And so I hope that it encourages you. I hope that you can add it to your summer feel-good playlist. I hope it's a song that lifts you up and inspires you and reminds you to never give up. And that's really the goal. So thank you for being here on the podcast. I don't usually spend too much time talking about my music, so thanks for listening and letting me share a little bit today. Now, what you guys are probably here for, David's interview, is coming up soon. So there's always hope. Get ready for this incredible conversation on mindset and personal growth, and know that you're not alone. Now, finally, if you happen to be listening to this on the day it releases, March 25th, if you're listening to this day, I'm doing a concert tonight. So if you're listening to this a little bit later, sorry, you might have missed it. But if you want to come, biapa.org/hopeinsong, join my virtual concert. If you can't make it live, you can see a playback. And it's a fundraiser for Brain Injury Association of Pennsylvania. So just wanted to throw that out there, because even if there's just like one or two people that hear the podcast today that want to come to the concert, I know there'll be more than one or two people that listen today. I can see my statistics. Thank you, by the way. There's a lot of people who listen. But if there's anybody who wants to come tonight, I just wanted to also throw a reminder out there. So, all right, enough said. Let's move on and talk about personal growth mindset. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. If you'd like to get involved and connect with other survivors, caregivers, and family members, check out the information on our website, hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. There's Zoom meetings, Facebook groups, Brain Injury Bible Study group, if that's something you're interested in. There's a lot going on, and I would love to connect with you and help to connect you with others that are going through similar circumstances, because we are not alone. Now, thanks for listening to the podcast, and I would like to remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Thanks for listening, and remember, hope survives. Today, I am so excited to welcome David Freeman to Hope Survives Podcast. Welcome, David. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes. So David is a health and fitness professional, if I could speak. You've been in the industry for over 10 years. You've had personal experience with concussion, and you are a coach?
Yeah, I'm a coach. I'm a mentor. I'm a friend. I'm a few. I wear a lot of different hats. But I mean, my passion is helping people. So whatever title you're going to give that, I'll live up to that. All in, day in and day out. So that's what I do. I love helping people. My role and position, if you want that title, I'm the National Digital Performance Manager for digital within Lifetime. So I connect with a lot of individuals through the virtual platform, which is also an amazing thing. So you can touch so many different lives from abroad or here locally here in the United States, and helping them to change their lives and create positive habits.
I love it. And I was introduced to David through Dr. Jeremy Schmo. And back in the spring, we did a webinar and he spoke on mindset and consistency, and it just blew me away. And so I thought to myself, I have to get him on the podcast because I think our listeners could really benefit from hearing your story and hearing your encouragement. You are one of the most positive and tangibly, I'm trying to think of the right words. When I heard you speak about mindset, usually when I hear people speak about it, it's more abstract, but you spoke in a very tangible way that felt like it was actually something that you could take a hold of. And I love that. So I'm really looking forward to what you have to share today. Would you like to just start with sharing some of your story?
Yeah. I mean, overall, a lot of the listeners, I know that was briefed on, is individuals who have experienced some type of brain trauma or incidents like concussions and things of that nature. So me personally, I've had a few concussions playing football in high school and college. And I definitely understand when I'm in optimal functioning with my mind and how that works, and how you have to be very intentional with what it is that you're doing when you're not on point and you're not in that, what I would call like a flow state. So I would say that the brain is something that is a powerful, powerful organ. And when you think of how to utilize it and how to tap into it, it has so many things that connect to memory. And we can talk about a song, for example. When you hear a certain song that can be from, I don't know, your childhood, how it automatically takes you back there. And that just gives you a little taste of how powerful the brain is and how it remembers and how you can retrain it just in case you have any type of damage that was done to it. It's the effort that you put into it. And that's usually what yields the results that you get out of it. So you put high effort in it, you usually get some high results out of it. But if you put low effort into it, usually it yields the same thing as low results.
What impact has your concussion recovery had on your understanding of the mind?
Well, I would say the impact that it has on me, I don't know if this is me just getting older, but me remembering certain things, or I know that I'm thinking of something and I'm like, all right, I'll come back to that. And then I completely forget about it 10 minutes later. And I'm like, what was it? I can't remember it. So I don't know if that's me multitasking and me just forgetting about certain things, but I think that's the one thing that has stood out the most to me. And I'm very vocal about that because I want my wife and I want my friends to know so they can pay attention to it as well. So I would say just remembering things, certain basic things. And I'm not saying things like my social security number or my birthday. Like, I remember those things. I think since I have so many different things on the plate, what happens is I feel like I'm being able to take it all on instead of writing things down so I can come back to it and can be a little bit more formalized. I rely so much on, all right, I'm going to remember that. And I tend to fail at remembering whatever those things may be. So I would say just remembering certain things and wanting to function at a high level and be impressive at the same time. And the pressure that you might put on yourself of meeting others' expectations. And that's another thing that we can go even deeper into as well, is focusing on yourself, not necessarily worrying about the value of what everybody else has around you, like the value of you having within yourself and living up to your personal expectations, putting one foot in front of the other and making sure that you're doing good by yourself. That's how I would kind of word that, is making sure that you're taking care of self and not putting so much pressure on yourself to live up to other expectations.
That's so good and so important in brain injury recovery, because if you don't take care of your brain health, if you don't take care of yourself the way that it needs, especially while it's recovering from an injury, it can spiral into more and more problems. And so communicating that, I think you brought up a great example of making sure your wife and your friends know, like, hey, this is something that I'm dealing with, or this is something that I'm going through, and not holding yourself to a standard of perfection, but still wanting excellence. And so how do you toe that line between not wanting to try and be perfect all the time, but yet also wanting to expect a lot out of yourself?
That goes back to some of the pillars. I don't know if I mentioned it in our earlier connect when we were with Dr. Schmoll and whatnot, but just setting up mindset being the foundation. When I look at each one of the pillars, I have five pillars that is my philosophy around training and just overall a holistic approach to health is number one being mindset, number two being sleep, number three being nutrition, four being management of stress, and number five being movement or exercise. So setting that up for my structure and understanding within the mindset, I want to be optimal. So lead by example. It's very hard for me to explain something to somebody else if I'm not doing it myself. So I can speak from my personal experience if I'm living it. So setting myself up, writing down what my core values are, which is our faith, family, and fortune being able to give to the masses and have them, you know, thrive from whatever information it is that I'm empowering them with. So understanding your core values and speaking to that daily, that's kind of how I meet those expectations. Now exceeding those, that's kind of where you take it to that next level. This is where you have the pressures of society that now you're trying to align to, because we associate what value is based off of, we call it extrinsic versus intrinsic, like values. Intrinsically, what I just spoke on, those core values, that's what moves me. That's what truly should matter. It should not be the accolades of me getting on a magazine cover or me being on the top of a podium. Do those things feel good? Yes, that speaks to the ego. That's extrinsic, right? And we have so many different things that kind of cater to that right now. So when we look at social media and we look at, we can look at it as how many likes did I get, or how many views did it get, or did it go viral? We associate success to numbers versus how we actually feel about what it is that we're doing. And if we are empowering ourselves to do exactly what we're supposed to be doing here on the earth, living out our purpose, that should be the best feeling in the world. It shouldn't be associated to being on top of the podium or, you know, the accolade. So if we can get into that type of state of mind, I just feel like our world would just be a better place as a whole.
Yeah. And how do you view success, I think, is one of the things that so many people have to come to grips with, whether you have a brain injury or not. But with a brain injury, I find that often so many of survivors equate success with being who you were before, or with exceeding and being perfect in your physical therapy or occupational therapy or in your recovery and doing perfect nutrition and doing everything right. And that's not sustainable. That's not always able to happen. And so I found that I have had to learn how to redefine success. Like you were talking about your five pillars, and redefine success as am I giving to others? Am I experiencing love? You know, I think for me, like I'm a Christian, so the fruits of the spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, like those are my goals. And if I can exhibit the fruits of the spirit, then to me, I am living a successful life. But it took me a while, and the Lord had to do a lot of work on me to get there, because you want that worldly success of what everyone sees. And you also want to get better in your recovery, and you want to do more, and you want to do the best you possibly can. And when you feel like you fall short, it's like, how do you come back from that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to you clearly defining what success is to you. Once again, it becomes very confusing when you have done something that you feel amazing about, but yet it's not getting that credit to the world. The world's not recognizing it as that. But how do you define it? That's where you should continue to ask yourself and answer for yourself as well. If I was to define success in my eyes, success to me is making sure I'm doing the best by me so I can give the best of me. So giving my kids my undivided attention and making sure they have all the tools and resources to set them up for success in their life. Me being able to listen to my wife and be there for her and do the things that are necessary for our marriage to thrive. So time is how I would define success. And I spell love, you know, T-I-M-E, right? So that's exactly, or vice versa. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E or L-O-V-E spells time. Like, that is how I define success. Is where you're putting your efforts in is usually where you're going to yield those fruits of what you were speaking on, because the more energy you put into something, that's what it yields. And that's the same way the mind works, all right? The way you think dictates the way you act, which yields the results that you get. So it's the same concept. I would define it by where you're spending your time. And usually whatever you're putting the most time into is usually what you're probably going to be consuming a lot of those fruits of that labor.
Yeah, I think that's great. So you mentioned thinking brings to action, brings to results. And so do you want to talk a little bit about mindset, especially for those who may be in recovery from their injury? You know, how do you define mindset, and what is the importance of mindset, and how can somebody actually implement it?
Yeah, mindset is something that is so foundational, but it continues to evolve. And you said it earlier, like whatever you were in your teenage years or your early 20s and whatever you are now, it's different. And you being able to accept that. Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks, he had this amazing quote that I now love and I utilize it a lot as far as reference point. The ego is the past. All these things that we've done from an accomplishment standpoint, we look at that and we talk about that because it pretty much sets up, oh, this is who I am. This is why I'm this now, because of this. And don't get me wrong. Once again, when you look at the worldly views of how you achieve certain things, it is based off of numbers, attention, so on and so forth. So if I'm, and we got it right here in the back for the people who are watching, if I'm on the magazine cover, if I'm doing features on Men's Health, if I'm on Oprah's show, right? All of a sudden, people see value in me because of the individuals who are showcasing me. That is the past, right? That is my part of my past. Now, if I now continue want to be better and want to be the best, nothing's wrong with that, but that is now my pride. So you have an ego in the past. Now I'm thinking about the future, about how I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z. That right there is my pride. What he ended up saying is be present as far as what you're able to accomplish in the present moment. What I can focus on today. That's not to say don't have goals, but what I can focus on today so I can be the best and give the best of who I am. That's humility. That's being present in the present. And that's a huge gift that we continue to kind of this overlook. We're so focused on where we're trying to go. We forget about the little things that allowed us to do all these things that we did in the past, right? So when you don't have something, it's easy for you to now be present because you're focusing on all the things that's in front of you. When you start to achieve things and you start to arrive at success based off of, I put air quotes up, but based off of societal norms and what world classifies as success, you kind of lose sight of identity. And now you're catering to what people like versus what it is that you like. So the best way to answer that is staying true to yourself and having a true understanding of who you are as a person. That's where I would start from a foundational standpoint of knowing who you are. And that identity is a powerful tool that you always need to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. And who you are, not what you do or right. Who you were, who you are. Because one of the main things with brain injury is that you have some sort of loss of identity mm-hmm. when you have an injury and suddenly you can't do what you could do before and everything's different and everything changed. And I had to over and over and over again on over my decade-long journey with multiple brain injuries, remind myself that my value is not in what I do. My value is not in having a good day. My value is not in anything that I'm able to accomplish, but it's in the fact that I exist. I'm a child of God. I'm alive. I'm here. I have things inside of myself. I'm more than what I do. I'm more than what's happened to me. I'm more than this brain injury. You know, I have passions. I'm a singer. I write music. You know, mm-hmm. like there are so many things. I love my sisters. I love my parents. I love my friends. And, you know, there's so many other parts to myself than just the brain injury. There's so many other parts to myself than a job or like what you were saying, like worldly success. And so going and staying true to yourself, it can feel impossible when you have a brain injury because you're like, who am I anymore, right? But realizing you know who you are. deep down. And it might take some going through, for me, therapy, going to a doctor, talking about this loss of self, and journaling has been super helpful. Journaling, prayer, and just exploring, like, who am I? What do I value? Because you keep going back to core values. Yeah. So what do I value, or what should I value that maybe I don't yet? I want you to go over your five pillars you mentioned again. You said one of them was sleep. Yeah. And I find that often is not something that we maybe value like we should. And so defining who you are also is in, okay, well, what do I value, but also what maybe should I take a look at and value in my life?
Yeah, so I went in that order on purpose. So the number one was mindset, as it should be. And then number two was sleep. So that's the second pillar. And the reason why sleep is so powerful and important is because it allows the brain to actually recover. It allows everything that's going fast right now in your head as we're talking right now. You have all these little neurons like firing off. When you're now allowing your body to recover and repair and reset, that allows you to now function at a higher level when you wake up. If you're now depleting that time of recovery and repair, then you're pretty much burning the candle on both ends. You want to be high, optimal function, but at the same time, your brain's not able to comprehend so many different things, and you're burning it out. So that's why it's so important to value the sleep. And it's not about, oh man, I'm doing this all nighter and all these other things. When you're younger, your body's so much, it bounces back quicker. But trust me when I say that it builds up over time, that accumulation of what you're doing to your body, it hits you when you are in those 30s and 40s and 50s and so on. So make sure you're taking care of your body. Sleep is obviously, everybody who's listening right now, understanding the importance of sleep and what's happening during sleep. Educate yourself on that, because when you have that knowledge, and now you have the ability to do what you want with that knowledge, you still have to act on it. They say knowledge is power. I say that the actual application of the knowledge is where the power is. So you can know it. Like, we hear it all the time, eat good, sleep well. But if we're not actually doing it, we know what to do. But if we're not applying it, it's just information.
Mm-hmm. And it might take some extra effort to apply, especially after a brain injury. I know that there could be multiple sides. Sometimes people struggle with sleeping too much. Sometimes people have insomnia. Sometimes people have different things going on neurologically. And so talking to your health professional, talking to your provider, talking to your doctor, if you are having an issue with sleep, and figuring out what you can do to change it. One thing that I would advise is look up Google sleep hygiene and just look at sleep hygiene. And there are a lot of things that you can, as a brain injury survivor, implement. So like not being on your phone before bed, as just one example. And so there's a lot more we can go into there, but I want to hear your other pillars, value.
So the first pillar, just make sure if you are listening and if you want to write it down, the first pillar was mindset. The second pillar was sleep. The third pillar was nutrition. All right. So what we're feeding our body. When you think of certain foods that help, we call it like brain foods, right? When you think of these foods that help elevate your brain's function, and you hear a lot of the fatty acids, like the omega-3s and so on and so forth. So the why behind that, your brain obviously needs to absorb these nutrients as well for it to be able to function. So nutrition as a whole, you got to think of what your body is doing with these foods, how it's processing it, if it's less inflammation versus more inflammation. Like, you got to understand what the fuel for your body and how your body responds to it. So that's why nutrition is huge too. If you're super active, if you're out there working out, you want to make sure that your body is fueled properly. And then once again, I always think of how do I feel? That's a direct indication of probably mindset, probably sleep, or probably nutrition. It's going to be one of those three different variables. When you go into the fourth pillar, which is management of stress, understanding exercise is a form of stress. If I'm on the treadmill, you probably heard the saying before, my body doesn't know if I'm running on the treadmill or if I'm running from somebody. It just knows I'm running. So understanding, if you don't have those other pillars in check prior to actual movement, which is the last pillar, then your body is just feeling stress, the perceived stress versus the reality of stress. So management of stress, what you do prior to going to bed, how do you start to break down as far as start to decompress and make sure that you're going to a state of relaxation versus what you said as far as scrolling through the phone and things that keep your mind stimulated. How do you go into a state of meditation? It doesn't mean that you have to sit crisscross applesauce and close your eyes and hum. You literally can do so many different forms of meditation. You can be awake and walking and meditate. It's literally just being present with self and whatever comes to you naturally, whatever your focal point is that you want to hit on during that time of being present with self. So how do you manage your stress? What time frame do you set up within the day to have that time to manage that stress? And then last but not least, the last pillar, movement. I call it intentional movement. I was on a Men's Health Live earlier today, and I spoke on this, and that was one of the questions. What do you mean by movement? Is that exercise? I did not want to limit it to the word exercise to be very broad. I said intentional movement. And in my head, in my eyes, if you want to call it exercise, that's fine too. But I want you to be intentional with your movement. If that means I'm going to go out and walk and be present with nature, great. That was movement. If I want to go in the pool and walk back and forth in the pool at waist level deep, that is movement. Be intentional with the movement. Understand what it does and how your body's receiving it and how it makes your body feel. That's what I mean by movement. So if that's 30 minutes a day, which you should definitely be able to dedicate at least 5 days out of the week. I know that might sound aggressive, but when you think of 30 minutes, 15 minutes in the at the beginning of your day, 15 minutes maybe at night, just break it up and make sure you make your health and fitness a priority.
I love what you said about intentional movement, because sometimes we can feel so limited with a brain injury. I had exercise intolerance for many years. And so anytime I would start to get sweaty or I would get my heart rate would start to go up. I felt like this band around squeezing my head. I felt like my head was going to fall off. And then I would also, my heart rate was all messed up and my blood pressure. And I didn't know I had undiagnosed dysautonomia for many years, dysfunction of my autonomic nervous system. I also had undiagnosed vestibular system issues. And my brain injury doctors missed it because I could stand upright and I could walk across the room in the examination room in that doctor's office. I could walk across the room there. So, okay, yeah, she's fine. But what they didn't realize was my vestibular system was completely out of whack. And while maybe I could do a 10-second walk across the room, once I started to add in other variables, distractions, other things going on, or for an extended period of time, I would sway and I would go to one side and my balance would be completely off. And there were some days I could not do anything. And so one thing I've had to grow and learn and start to do more fitness as I've gotten treatment and as I've understood my own body and understood my diagnosis and what that means. But I love intentional movement because not everyone's going to be able to go on a treadmill. Not everyone's going to be able to go to the gym, especially with brain injury. We can't often deal with the lights and stimulation. I found wearing a ball cap at the gym helps me so much to just not be overwhelmed by the lights if I do go. But intentional movement could be just do something, move your arms. If you can't do your balance with your legs, move your arms, sit on a chair and do some chair yoga. There's tons of chair yoga on YouTube. And so there are so many different ways you can do that. But movement is very important to your brain health because it gets the blood flowing up there. And it's very important to your overall health as well.
Yes. You touched on all the different things as far as what it means to be intentional. So I love that.
Yeah, I think for so many of our listeners, they'll be able to relate to this because when you have a brain injury, you have to learn how to be intentional with things because you have such limited cognitive energy that if you're not, every day you're in survival mode. And every day you're just like, I went through years of just every day being in survival mode. And sometimes I get back into those cycles and I get back into those habits and patterns of weeks where I'm just like, I have a bad migraine on Monday. It bleeds into Tuesday. It bleeds into Wednesday. It bleeds into a week that is just terrible. And so what advice would you have for those who may want to learn how to implement better habits or to get out of a cycle of, you know, allowing a bad day or two bad days to take them out for a week?
Yeah, I think it goes back to that foundation of speaking to those core values and then building from those core values to create habits around that. So what does faith mean to you as far as, you know, one of your core values? And maybe you have three bullet points underneath faith, right? Maybe that's going to be my daily devotion. That's going to be reading. That's going to probably be, you know, praying, whatever it may be. There goes three bullet points. When you look at family, how would you break down that with three bullet points? I'm going to spend X amount of time here with the kids intentionally, my wife here. I'm going to end up doing an act of service for them so they don't have to worry about X, Y, and Z. That might be for family. Fortune, that can be coming back to you as far as what do I need to do to make sure that I accomplish the things I need to accomplish this week, all right? So setting up that structure and that schedule. So if you now have the three core values, and I'm using my three, but if you have more than three, that's fine too. And then maybe you now start to bullet point underneath each one of those core values, what that means in detail, and then you map that out for your week. Now, it seems like it's a lot of structure, but just like with anything, the more consistent you are with it, the easier it becomes. And I mean, a great example I can give here is when you think of riding a bike for the first time without the training wheels. The training wheels, okay, you got a little bit of that foundation, right? But then when you remove the training wheels, it's a whole nother ball game. But all the different things you did while the training wheels were on still set you up as far as a foundation, how to steer, how to somewhat balance. If you had training wheels before, you know how it can go from side to side, one of the wheels come up. So you're still learning as far as how you're moving within space. So with that, now you remove that. Since you've had all these touch points, it's that much easier to execute on whatever the expectations that have been set based off of those core values. So I say map it out, have structure, see it visually. So when you can see something, it's easier for you to hold yourself accountable. You're responsible for what you now see. That makes it that much easier for you to execute.
Yeah, I love that. Having it in a multimodal way. That's something that I learned in my brain injury rehab stuff too, is, you know, you listen, you see, you write. If you can do things in different learning styles, in different ways, it can help you to learn and adjust better. And so I find I wrote down goals for this year. And mm-hmm. I wrote them on a piece of paper and I put it up on my wall in my room. So every day I see these goals, and I might not be able to work towards each one every day, but I might be able to work towards them. I reevaluate and say, how am I working towards it intentionally overall?
Yeah.
And so being able to adjust, and like, I find that where I fail, I don't know if I want to use the word fail, but where I struggle the most in consistency is I set up a schedule for the week and then I have a bad headache and I can't follow through that day, and it just gets me off. And so I think going back to understanding mindset and having flexibility and realizing you can still be consistent every day. Maybe you can't do 30 minutes on the treadmill, but like I said, maybe you can do chair yoga for 30 minutes, or finding some way to adapt and continually be consistent, even if it looks different that day.
Yeah. Giving yourself grace. And what you just said, adapt. I'm going to go to like Darwin. When he ended up saying survival of the fittest, so many people associated that to being the strongest and the fastest. And the reality is, it was any animal that was able to adapt to their environment the best is going to be the one to survive. And that's the same situation as far as what you just said. I would not say where you fail. I say that's where you learn. Because just like when you fall off the bike, you get back up and you try again and you learn from those experiences.
So that's good. Learning. That's that power of mindset. And I'm learning here because I struggle with that. I struggle with those negative thoughts and putting myself down. And I'm very open about that on this podcast and in the recovery and on Hope After Head Injury, because I'm not always the best at bouncing back when I have bad days, or when I have bad seasons, or when I have setbacks. And so for me, it feels like this like mountain to climb, but I'm not really looking at each step that I'm taking. And so I've had to learn how to look at the steps and celebrate those along the way. And I love how you said, yes, opportunity to learn.
Yeah. I mean, and even with those bad days, what you want to understand is you're setting the bar as far as what your expectations are, right? And you now view it as a fail. And I saw it from, I think it was Emmanuel Achua, and he ended up saying, like, in this world, you're going to lose at something. You're not going to be undefeated. You're going to lose. And it's the best thing to happen for so many of us is, however you want to define lose, that experience allows you to understand what you can get better at. If you're always winning, if it's always peaches and cream, you don't know what it feels like to lose. So then when you do lose, it's like the end of the world. So that's why I feel like you build this tolerance up from these, if you want to call it fails or losing, and you learn from those. Now, I will also say this. If you make a mistake once, it's a mistake. If you make a mistake more than once, then it's a decision. It's a choice. And that's not to be hard on anybody, but now that you're aware, you now know how to address it. But if you're aware and you're just like, I'm going to do it again anyway, then that's a choice. So knowing how to approach that and giving yourself grace, nobody's perfect by any means, but giving yourself grace, but also, you know, being hard on yourself in those times that, you know, if you want to accomplish something, you gotta challenge yourself, and you got to make sure that you're just not making the choice and that you learn from that mistake.
Yeah, give yourself grace, but also I think part of being kind to yourself is expecting more from yourself. Yeah. Like, being kind to yourself is not eating an ice cream sundae every night. Okay, that's not self-care. That's not good for your brain. That's, right. You know, maybe if you have ice cream every so often, or on your birthday, or you know what I mean? Like something like that. But you can't, like, value this. It's a kind of silly example, but you can't think of self-care as eating ice cream every night, because sugar is not good for your brain. Dairy is inflammatory. Sugar is inflammatory. Yeah. And so it's affecting your body. It's affecting the cells of your brain in a very specific way. And that's not self-care. Now, I'm not saying eat salads all the time, but I am saying pay more attention to your nutrition. And so sometimes self-care and being kind to yourself is saying no to the ice cream and saying, what can I have that, you know, for me, I find nuts is a good thing. So if I'm having like a craving, I really love walnuts. And so I have some chopped walnuts, or I have some walnut halves in the pantry. And if I'm having like a craving, I go to like a walnut, 'cause I know that has, like you were saying, the fatty whatevers that are good, omegas that are good for your brain. And so, and it's also satisfying. And so, you know, I'm not saying that every time, but that's just an example of, you know, there are times when being kind to yourself does mean saying no to yourself for habits. Like, hey, it's 10 p.m. and I just really want to go on Instagram and check that. No, sometimes being kind to yourself is saying no. It's not allowing yourself everything. Being kind to yourself is choosing what's best for you, like a parent does for a child. A parent will not let a child have cookies all the time because they know it's not good for them. So in a sense, you sort of have to parent yourself. I don't know, parent yourself a little bit and think of yourself as, this is somebody I'm taking care of. So what is for their best ultimate, and do that for yourself.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, I like how you use the parent analogy, but also what you're surrounding yourself with also has an influence on your day to day as well. So if you have other individuals that are like-minded individuals that want to see you win, but they're also trying to win, like, you want to surround yourself with those individuals, because if they're not walking in the same path as you, then it becomes that much more challenging for you to arrive at what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So making sure you surround yourself with a group of individuals that are going to help elevate you in this space.
Yeah, I love that. And having the right people to cheer you up and cheer you on. And whether that is finding a brain injury support group and connecting with somebody else who's had a similar journey, or the friends in your life or at your church, or people in your family that you know you can count on, and being vulnerable, reaching out, opening up. Like, I've asked my mom to help me with certain habits that I want to change. Like, I'll say, like, you know, please hold me accountable to my workout schedule. Hold me accountable to this so that I am not going at it alone.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that.
So I have loved having you on the podcast today. We are running out of time, but I do want to ask you, there's so many amazing things that you've shared today. What is a final word of encouragement and hope that you would have for our listeners?
be authentically you. Stay true to yourself. Understand who you are and why you're here, and live on purpose daily. So once you get off this podcast and you get done with this listen, go look in the mirror and say, I know who I am, and I'm going to be the best version of who I am, and I'm going to live out my purpose.
Yeah. I love it. And I just want to say real quick, as a brain injury survivor, you are allowed to also just be a human. Just be a person. Yep. So many times we define ourselves by our brain injury, but I used to feel like I could not look in the mirror and say, I know who I am and I can do this. Mm. But over time, I've learned that I was viewing myself with an inaccurate lens. Mm. And so if you're struggling with that, take this podcast and look at yourself and say, hey, I know who I am because I'm myself, and I may not know everything about my values, but I'm going to start here and I'm going to explore it. I'm going to figure it out. And so if you're listening to us and you're like, oh, how do I find my values? Or I don't know what my own mindset should be. It's a journey of exploration and of figuring it out. And you can do more than you think you can.
Yeah. If I can, I probably do a suggestion. If you've ever heard of Strength Finders 2.0 with Tom Rath, it's a great read. It's an easy read. You take this little fun quiz at the end, almost like a personality test. And I mean, obviously answer honestly. And then what it does, it ends up showing like your top five strengths. And that kind of helps provide a little bit of a foundation of like, okay, I do identify with this, and it gives you a little bit of an excerpt as far as what it means. So that might be a fun little tool to probably, you know, lean on if you do have questions on certain things, to kind of provide a nice little foundation for you.
I love that suggestion. I will put that information in the podcast description, as well as your information, social media and contact information, and your website and everything you do. So you are amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you've provided so much value for our listeners today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.